just designing just in case. When you get funding, sometimes you want to go really quickly, so it's nice to have the plan in place. Same scenario, just looking at different ways to facilitate two-story classroom buildings in locations where there's no existing portables, or minimizing that as much as possible. And again, with them, with their multi-purpose room, which is currently here, looking to put the front door now on Richland Road instead of currently the front door is here where the parking is too small. There's not enough parking and stuff. So if we do relocate up here, that would mean facilitating the multi-purpose room for after school activities and things like that closer to the new front door. So again, these are just ideas that are being thrown out. Nothing is official, but we're just, you know, this is the beginning process of design. And then the schedule we're hoping for is to be done with these buildings in July of 2016, moving in. So it's an aggressive schedule, and we'll keep you posted as things move along. But so far, we're doing well in October, looking to finalize the pre-design stuff and locate the buildings so we can proceed on. Okay. And then the numbers, the final piece here. So this is just a summary of all the dollars that we're looking at. At the top there, we have $281 million in bond resources. The interest, we're looking at the June 30 of 1.4 for a total of 282. And these are the ways that we're looking at spending. You know, we have some hopes, but we have some science behind the hope of having some savings in two of our projects. One of them, San Marcos High School, and the other one, the technology infrastructure projects. Some of these bids are coming in lower than we anticipated, so we're hoping that we can have those savings to keep stretching the projects along the way that they are shown on this document. But that's where we are today with the dollars. Keep pushing to go there. So again, for Richland, the other piece I'll just point out, there is $100,000 there. That's just for doing design. The board hasn't allocated any official funds to go push forward there. We're looking at the design just in case some money comes out in the future. Okay. And I think that's it. Yeah. Any questions?
So when we start getting designs, we'll bring those to you, and you can see some of the design ideas and cost projections and so forth for those three big projects and timelines and all that.
So Kari, could you be sure that as soon as possible after the next meeting that you update the website with the updated financial information?
Yeah, so what we've been talking about, and along in the packet, and I think you're going to go through, Gary, was that each of the expenditure reports are there. We're going to get the summary of that information onto the website. Jim and I have been talking about that. Apologize, we had our communications records out a little bit on medical leave, so we're a little behind on that. But hopefully we can get that information summarized onto the website. To help us take that.
So if you didn't go over this one.
I did not go over that.
This is a handout. This is what we talked about last time. It's showing each site. And one of the pages that we had the last night, it shows total Prop K funds at each site and then like E-rate funds and any other funds that might be assigned. And then we had the newer one, and this is what I was really shooting for. And this is each site and how many different Prop K projects are at that site. So that's the newer one we designed from our last meeting, and so that's for you to peruse and look at.
Hopefully. This is a nice matrix.
This is what I'm used to using. We used it before in our first bond issue way back in the mid-90s, and it was a little more complicated because they had a lot of different money, state money coming in, different money, but this is about what we did. So I hope this is helpful to you.
This is good.
And we will have that on our website as well. And I think this is one of the recommendations that came out of the Taxpayer Association, having something like this document.
It actually came out of our recommendation that happened to just coincide with the Taxpayers Association.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's it with Kari's presentation.
And enjoy the game.
I wish it was.
So we have
Bye, Kari.
Probably our last presentation here on San Marcos High School budget and so forth. So,
do I do the budget first?
Or? No, you do yours first and get the budget second.
Okay, then.
The numbers are the boring thing. We'll leave that for last. I don't know about you. I constantly get compliments on that, on San Marcos High School. From everybody. They're just astonished at that site building.
Okay, I believe this probably will be my last presentation for you all. It's been a lot of fun. And school is being appreciated by community, staff, students. I think you all heard that. So, let's get it down here. This is the aerial that was taken on October 3rd. And as you can see, this whole campus now is being well used. The parking has worked out well. We still have plenty of additional parking as the school continues to grow. We have capacity for about 3,200 students, and we could add more if needed. As I told a lot of people, a year ago I went on a trip with my sister-in-law through Kansas. And you go through these small cities and you think, oh my goodness, her relatives live in cities that are a quarter of the size of this school. And to think that this, 3,200 or the 2,700 that we have now, those are cities in many areas. This just gives you a little different view so that you can get an idea of where the varsity fields are that we're completing. We have the varsity baseball, which is in the same location as it previously was, and the varsity softball field with the drainage channel that runs in between those two fields. This is the varsity baseball field, and it's much further along. This was 2 weeks ago. Construction just moves really quickly, as you all have seen. The dugouts are completed. The fencing will be completed by the end of this week, and we'll be laying sod here by around November 10th. The one critical item that we have to get is approval from DSA for the posts that will support the scoreboards, and that would be for both these fields. We got some support from DSA. They got documents back to our architect, who's now turning those around so that we can get the posts fabricated in and be ready to install by that mid-November date.
Is that actual sod, you said? Grass?
Yes, it will be actual sod. It's a Bermuda grass, and it will be overseeded with rye, so it's green. And when it comes in to the fields, it will stay green into the spring, and then rye starts dying out and the Bermuda starts turning green and growing more quickly. This, we have the Native American Garden, which is on the most easterly part, and then the softball field here. As you can see, it's getting harder and harder to access these fields because as we build more, we can't get the trucks on. So it's been quite a scheduling challenge for Lusardi to have everything lined up so that it can still move quickly. This line here is where the mow curb is going, so you can get an idea of the outfield line of the softball field. And then this area over in here is the Native American Garden. And then this is just kind of an open space, but that isn't going to be used for anything at this point in time. If Gary needed to, or if the site wanted to, you could put some type of the storage containers out here. You can see where the walkway is going in. This walkway will access off of Discovery, and it will be all fenced along here, so you can lock that gate. But students can come in, walk through here, go on campus, or gain at the stadium. You can have the visitors' entrance and exit across here also. Again, so you don't get a mixing of home team and visitors, which sometimes can be a challenge. This is reversed, but this gives you an idea of what the Native American Garden is like. There will be mounding out there to give it some relief. You will be able to see it from the street. It will be a galvanized fence that goes along there. But it will be green. It will be native plants to the Southern California area. And then we get to, you know, what is it going to look like? We have the blues, which are your grasses, and then the greens, which are shrubs and vines that would be on the tops of some of the mounds. And then you also have ground cover, which are the reds and the beige along through here. The fence line will be inside of the fence of the street, and acacia plants here, sidewalks, excuse me, that y'all should have discovered. The city has plans to remove this this little island here and change this corner so that it's safer for people, and that's part of their future plan. So this corner, plus the widening of San Marcos Boulevard in general. And we have planned into that our field boundaries so that they wouldn't be impacted. Although once they start cutting in to this area, if they continue with that plan, they may have to replace or revise the retaining wall because it could come in that close and they would need to do that to maintain the integrity of the field.
How far are they widening it to the south?
They're planning to do most of it on the north side, but over here to make this right-hand turn lane, to change this intersection, it would impact this area here.
That's Discovery?
At Discovery, yes. And then there was some widening that would go on the south side of San Marcos Boulevard a ways past Discovery also.
So the city is completely changing its tune on expansion San Marcos Boulevard.
We made these plans a couple years ago when the city had the funds to the redevelopment, and you know that plan could be totally different today. But we were able to fit in everything we needed, so we've accommodated what could potentially happen in the future. Right now, it gives us a little extra room out there on those outfield fences. And there's a possibility that we would need to, the district would need to come in and put in some netting if the balls are getting over those fences. Like Gary said, you know, they get new bats. These metal bats can really knock a ball further, but still, that softball is a big ball. It's hard to get it that far, but
I don't know how they see the ball if they hit that ball. It comes in. They're so close and they throw so fast. I don't know how they. I think they just close their eyes and swing. Now, are you saying that? How big is this? How tall is that fence?
This fence varies. It starts out at about 10 feet here, but it's basically a straight line all the way across. At this point here, the fence is about 8.5 feet tall because the way the field crowns. But then as it is a little bit shorter, we have more space out here.
Now, is this a fence here too?
Yes.
So that's higher. Is it top of the bank too?
Yes.
So that's another 6 feet or something?
Yes.
Fence. Okay. So that might then I may not have to put a higher net.
Possibly not. Yeah.
Okay. I'll find out. I used to have to write a lot of checks for broken windows before I put the netting up on the baseball field. For years, they were just launching them into the San Marcos Boulevard.
In this area, if balls are hit out into the Native American Garden, there's a protocol that's being developed because only maintenance or custodial would be able to go out there and get the balls. Kids would not be able to go out there.
So nobody will. It's just a garden to look at from outside of the fence. No one can go in there. They're not.
No, it's not. It's a nature preserve is what it's going to be. Look at it, don't touch it.
No, the Native Americans are open to working with the school site to have some type of a program there. And down at this corner where you have an entrance, there will be a sign there with a map on it explaining what all the different plants are in there. And so that needs to have some support at the site level and the Native American level to be able to go through that and prepare the plans so that they can find out why did they use you know, these types of plants, and then what were those plants used for as part of the culture. Now, the Native Americans are open to that, but at Julianne Elementary School, the state would not allow anybody to go into the preserve. When we did that, we had kind of a viewing area where you could look out over it, but they would not allow any type of educational activities to occur in that preserve. These are some of the plants that are on the site, the plant palette, and our architect worked with the Native Americans as far as plants that are commonly found in this area. And as you can see, California poppy, the sages, silver bush, bluebells, the Indian hawthorn, which is a Raphiolepis, and cactus. We have the ground covers that are out there, and then ornamental grasses. So you get the fescue and the deer grass. And these were some of their specific requests. All the rest of the items we had already planned, and then they had added these three, and we added those into the palette. This is the way it's looking out there today. You can see this truck that looks like it's up rather high. And this is the grounding that will go on out there, which we'll be planning on. None of the irrigation will be underground. It will all be above ground. That once everything is established, we should be able to turn the water off and not continue irrigating the area, because these are plants native to Southern California and should grow in the weather conditions that we have, although the weather is changing. This just gives you an idea when you come in off of Discovery. This is Discovery over here. This will be a gate where they can enter for maintenance or having students to go in there. Right next to it on the fence is where we have that permanent sign with a map of the area showing what plants are out there. And then this is a view from the infield area of the softball field. And as you can see, that truck is up there, and how that is mounted up, and then there'll be other mounds going across there. You won't have a view of the Native American garden from like the stands for the base softball field, because the fence will have a windscreen on it. The athletic fields were open on October 6th. Students are out playing on the fields now. They're playing on the tennis courts. The only area they don't have access are the two varsity fields. Those are being worked on now, obviously, and they are going to be done by January 15th. We're basically doing everything in our power to get those done by the 15th of January, because the varsity baseball team needs those fields so that they can go through with their CIF games starting February 1. So we tell them that they can use the other two fields to warm up on and practice.
Is there something that pushed that back? Because I thought originally they were supposed to be done
That was the goal to have it done, but we were not getting BSA approval at the time. That basically has been the challenge all the way through. DSA, though, has worked with us as much as possible to assist us in keeping the project on the forefront, and their staff working on it. They've got a lot of projects in there.
How much drought would that push out
the drought?
Yeah.
We are going to be working with the Balasitas Water District. We are watering within the time frames that they have set up. With having the water well, which is not operational yet at for the other fields and the parking lot, they have allowed us to continue on with that. The well that we have down in this lower corner here will take care of all of these fields. and the landscape bay along here, and up to this point, essentially that stairwell is the dividing line as to where the well does not water the landscape anymore. So we don't have a well in this center quad area or the landscape along here. There'd be the possibility there is power here, and all the district could dig a well in this area to take care of these two properties, the horse and the fields.
And the hillsides are acacia, so once we get them gone, we kind of walk away.
So we can just turn off those valves and they don't need to be watered anymore.
Is there any question whether or not might not be able to
open up? Oh, there is that possibility. If Vallecetos came out and said, hey, no landscape watering at all, then we would have to appeal as a school district to say, we have the students here, it's part of a program, would you make the exception and allow the watering of the fields? So we're keeping a handle on, you know, what is going on with the local Vallecetos and, of course, with your metropolitan water. Yeah. Anything else?
So, we have this budget document in front of you here. And so Kathy has the numbers in here, and there's a couple documents attached to it. So, remember the budget was $180 million. Kari talked about saving $1 million out of here for other projects. So, Kathy and I were talking this evening before the meeting. This second page kind of talks about the GMP and the actual construction costs alone. Now, we're going to adjust this a little bit, not much, but a little bit. You have the actual construction costs of $153,893,000. This is the straight Lissardi type cost. And out of that, not all of it was paid by Prop K. There were some projects we had to do that had nothing to do with Prop K, but it had to do with this project. In other words, we took buildings off, installed them someplace else, and that really wasn't relative to the high school, so I paid for it out of different funds. So that's about 700, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so that's on the first page. I didn't quite get this page updated. So on the first page, you see a negative or bracketed 746. Out of the construction costs, it had nothing to do with the high school, per se. I paid for it with different funds, not on top of the funds. The third page, well, this represents our contingency down there, just above the subtotal of $159 million. So Kathy and I were talking about this. This is just in case. So, for example, her well. I'll say it's your well. Kathy Tanner well. We may have to put a little bit more money into that, just to do some cleaning and various things to get it up and running. We're going to set aside money to do the track, because I just didn't want to do it while we're doing this baseball field. I could just see a little bit of mess. It's kind of like painting something. We would have dust going on. Okay. We're going to wait a year or so to do that. I'm also going to have her put money in there for redoing the artificial turf. I'm trying to get 10 years out of that. That's about $600,000. We think out of this whole thing, we might use about $1 million of it, and the rest would fall into other projects. So at the end of the day, we're hoping that we're going to have, out of our contingencies, about, what did we say, $2.5 million mm-hmm. left over. Plus there's some in the equipment and so forth. So between $2.5 million and $3 million will fall out of this $180 million budget and be used for like the Richmond and the other shade covers and so forth. So as we start bringing this down, and it's going to take a while to bring mm-hmm. it down to the end. For example, we're meeting with our architects and what would you call it? Not a judge, but an arbitrator to discuss yeah. some costs additional costs. The budget's there. We're not sure if we're going to spend it, but there's disputes on whether they should be paid a little bit more for some extra work they had to do. Things like that. Mm-hmm. But just shutting it down. I have money in the contingency. I tend to do things after the guys are gone, you know, because it's cheaper for me to do that. So an example, you have the tennis courts, 10-foot fence around it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're facing the street. I know they want it. So I'm going to come after that and probably put another 6 feet of netting up above that. Those little things that we, when we see where we have issues, we're going to do it after the fact. So I'm going to, maybe $100,000 to do that kind of thing. Things you just couldn't think of. Maybe some more stuck in the ground benches.
But you don't get everything in your first shot, and so it's always good to have that budget left over, and then you're seeing where the balls are going, you're seeing where the problems are occurring, and then you have a more educated, you know, thought that goes into adding a fence or net, what have you.
She's put money in for asphalt sealing. So you have to wait, a year or so, and then come back and do it again. That's not a part of the construction part. That's something that where this logic would go. So we're going to set this money aside to do that. And it also involves restriping everything, but that's just a part of the process. So that's kind of our estimate at this budget so far, but we're getting down to the end. But to close out a project, it takes a while. I could see us going all the way till next summer before we really finalize it, maybe even further.
I think at this point, it's clear that this project is under budget.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've done everything that we said we were going to do, and despite some delays with the state approvals, mm-hmm. it was also finished ahead of schedule or on schedule
mm-hmm.
for all intents and purposes. So I think for a project of this scale to be finished on time and under budget, I think is pretty good.
Now, I'm just telling you before here, you're hearing it before the board's hearing. So I do have to likely let Kevin inform the board, this is what we're projecting, so they're not caught off guard. But you're the first. And we're just getting to that point where we're feeling comfortable. And then these other ones are all the other projects, very similar. And unless you have questions, I'm not going to go through them all. But you've seen it before, like the project for the fence at Alvin Dunn, that thing, that's a 500, that's in here. The budget, what we spent today, and the balance. And the percentage. We've tried to guess on percentage of completion, so that's in there as well. So, let's see where we are here. I lost my agenda here somewhere in my file. So, I think that's it for us on the reports.
I did have one thing to say. We got the San Diego Taxpayers Association report, and they gave us a lot of kudos, and then we did our report following up to the community and to the governing board. Subsequent to that, we got a thumbs up from the Taxpayers Association for the follow-up that we did with the board. So I think that's pretty good. The representation for those of us here in the COC. I feel good that we were able to do that and get that kind of recognition from the Taxpayers Association for our transparency efforts.
Mm-hmm. One last thing. It's getting that time where we have to start thinking of terms again. Your term runs out in March, the end of March, technically, where the new group starts in April. So what we need to know is if from all the members, and we can put it out, who wants to continue. There are two seats that are in at the end of their second term, and that's all you get is a second term. You have to go off a whole term and come back on. And that would be David Barnum and Darius. So their terms are up. Now, the alternates, I don't believe, fall under this two-year process, so they can fill a slot. And then the board can go out and get some. Especially, I think Darius is a business rep, and I think David is a
something for your file.
So parents are using the business rep to find something. So we'll see if any of the alternates fit. Okay? So we'll put the word out and try to get some information on that. And I'm not. And plus, when's our next meeting?
January.
January. We'll go into that. And we'll get that out to everyone so they can make sure it's on their calendar. Because that's where you start doing